Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys. This is your boy, Gerald G. Rhett Riley, and unfortunately, my beautiful wife, my rib, my best friend, and my girlfriend, Katasha Riley, cannot be here today. But that's okay because we're going to continue on like the soldiers that we are. Listen, we are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And today's Sunday Conversation is entitled, When You Have Done Enough as a Mother. I'm going to say that again. Today's Sunday Conversation is entitled, When You Have Done Enough as a Mother. I'm in the studio today with an amazing young lady. I'm proud to call her my friend. We go back some 20 years, I believe so. But she is an amazing woman of God. She has an amazing story. She is inspiring. And I'm just so happy to have her in the studio today. Listen, audience, please welcome to our studio today, Miss Jamaica Hall. Say hello, Jamaica.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing, Mr. Riley?
I am doing wonderful. And listen, she has a silky voice. And trust me, man, she looks just as good as that voice. Amen. Amen. Listen, we're gonna go ahead and dive on to our Sunday conversation for today. When you have done enough as a mother. And the reason, I'm gonna get started, but the reason why I entitled that is because the story that Jamaica Hall has is amazing. She has, I'm gonna let her tell you. So my first question is, tell our listening audience who you are, where you from, what do you do? Just everything about you.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning, Brother Riley. Thank you for having me this Sunday morning. My name is Jamaica Hall, and I am from Columbus, Georgia. I was raised and born here. I've been here for 47 years. I'm a single parent with three handsome young men and a beautiful four-year-old granddaughter. That lives out in Killeen, Texas, and I work in Columbus as in the residential area with New Horizons, and is actually dealing with the homeless people.
Okay, awesome.
And residential, and I had to make a dramatic change within my life because I lost my oldest son to gun violence last year.
Awesome. Now we're going to get into that. I had to stop her because she was getting ahead of my questions. But listen, you are the mother of three amazing young men. And I know them young men because all three of them were raised in the barbershop, Overflow Salon and Barbershop.
That's true.
And I know personally that as a mother, and I know the father also. He's a great guy, and I love him too. But I know personally as a single mother, I've seen you do all that you can do as a mother.
Right.
You dotted the I's. You crossed the T's. They were great. They were great young men. They weren't bad young men.
That's true.
They did what they were supposed to do. You didn't have to go get them out to jail and all that other crazy stuff.
Right.
And so I really want to dive into some of the things that you experience as a single mom. Like she said before, she has three. She bore three young men.
Right.
And she lost one young man to gun violence. And so I want to ask this question. Well, let me give you some facts. Last year in Columbus, Georgia, we broke a record concerning homicides. Are you aware of that?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And I'm not sure, but how many do we have this year so far?
I'm not exactly for sure, but I know the counts are high. And it's just now, we're in November, the month of November. And it's pretty high. Like I said, I don't know the count, but it's there. It's the number. Probably, I'll say 50 or 60?
50 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure there are a lot of single mothers out there listening today. Is it hard to raise young men as a single mother? And is it a difference between raising young girls versus young men as a single mother?
Oh, wow. That's a good question.
I know you only had three boys.
Right.
But just try to elaborate. Just
Raising three boys as a single mother, I can say that it's hard, because it was hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had my first child when I was 18.
Wow, 18 years old.
When I had my first child at 18, I had goals that I had set for myself, because I actually wanted to go to school to be a doctor.
Come on now, Dr. Jamaica.
Wanted to go to school to be a doctor. So I had to stop and take the focus off myself, my goals that I had set for myself, and put them to the side and focused on that first child that I had to raise as a single mother. And then I had another one, which was...
How old was your first son? What's his name?
My first son name is Demetrius Daniels.
And what they call him?
He has so many names. Red.
Right. Okay.
Then he went to
What's your second child? What's his name?
Second child is Jayani.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the third one is Jaquan.
Okay.
And they all call them the Daniel boys.
The Daniel boys.
The Daniel boys, yes.
Okay. Now tell me about raising those young men.
It was hard, but like I said, I was a single mother.
Right.
When I came time to raising them, I didn't want to have them around certain people. In other words, certain guys, because I was raised up old school way.
Okay. What is old school?
The old school way is that you don't have any and everybody around your children.
Come on.
Especially when it comes to men.
Come on.
Raising three young guys, three young men or boys, in a home as a single parent, they look at you. Mm-hmm. They look up to you. And therefore you have to have values and mores in your life as well. Certain things I did not do. I wasn't perfect. Did I make some mistakes? Yes, I did. Did I club? Yes, I did. Did I drink? Yes, I did. But I did not do it in front of them.
Okay.
So I had standards that I had set for myself when I was raising them. And my main focus was raising them to be young, respectful young men and be leaders out in a community. How to have respect for the elders, and having just respect for themselves. And I can remember used to tell when they was younger is when they're out with their friends. I know that when you're out with your friends, you're not going to do the right things. You're going to get out there and you're going to do something. To always to carry yourself in a highly manner. And when you go out into the community or hang out with your friends, always know how to act, because it's going to get back to awesome. your parents.
You're right. Now, as a single mother, you mentioned that you made some mistakes.
Yes.
But like I said, I know you personally, Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
and I've always known you to be a great mother, a great friend, a great daughter, just a great person in general. So for those single mothers out there who maybe just had a baby, or they're pregnant, about to conceive now, and they have young children on the ground, could you give them some advice?
Oh, yes. To my young mothers that are out there that have children, do right by them. Be mindful of who you have in their presence. Teach them right from wrong. Teach them about how to carry themselves in a holy manner. And mostly teach them about God.
Come on.
Teach them about the Word of God, because that is their foundation. And that is something that I strongly did when it came to my children when they were younger. I took them to church because they're gonna need that foundation. In the way that the world is going on today, our younger generation, they really needs it. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I really stand on, is the Word of God. Apply that into their lives, because they're gonna need it. Because when they get a certain age, of course they're gonna go astray, but they're not going to forget that Word of God. And you have to have that Word of God to apply it to your life.
Amen, Jamaica. Now, as a young mother, Jamaica, let me tell you, my wife, my beautiful mm-hmm. wife, I've been married 16 wonderful years to a beautiful woman inside and out. She had our first child at 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Our second child at 17. Mm. And then the next child, I believe, because we have so many, I lose count. But I want to say every 2 years, and then we had a set of twins.
Oh, wow.
And so she was she was pregnant in high school at 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when my wife told me this story, she was determined not to be a statistic. She was determined not to be a young single mm-hmm. mother who fell victim to the system and everything else like that. But it's funny, because when I met Jamaica, I was in the military. I was a soldier.
Right. Yes. Yes.
And when I met her, where did you stay at?
At that time?
Yes.
Oh, I was living in Peabody.
Peabody.
Peabody apartment.
That's right.
Yes.
She
was remember the address, 307L.
Right. She was living in Peabody apartments. I met her when I was a soldier. She was living. No, we didn't have a relationship. No, we were always, because Jamaica dated one of my good friends.
Right. Yes, I did.
But I met her in Peabody. Now, were you pregnant? Were you pregnant at the time with your oldest son?
No, I was not. I actually, I think when you and I met, Red was probably a year old.
Okay, Red was a year old.
A year old.
Okay. Now, that's what I want to get to. Mm. Now, I'm going to go back again. The title of our Sunday conversation for today is When You Have Done Enough as a Mother. And I entitled that because you've done everything that you could possibly do as
yes,
a mother
yes, yes.
to raise your three African kings.
Right.
You put them in church.
Right.
You mm-hmm. made them do the right thing.
Yes.
But yet, your oldest son was still murdered.
That's right.
By gun violence.
Yes.
Now, can you tell us about that?
Oh, wow, yes. Well, there are certain things I can say when it comes.
Right.
My oldest son was murdered last year, shot and killed, murdered in a drive-by shooting last year in April. I never forget the day. Actually, it was on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. I was at church. As I got out of church, I went home to change my clothes because I had to go to work. Mm-hmm. I had to be at work probably about 3 or 4. And during that week, Red had actually went to out of town to Louisiana, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And on my way to work, something just told me to call him just to see how his trip was. And
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's real.
Yes, he truly is. He's really is true. The Holy Spirit is
now
is
listen,
true.
If it's too much,
it's not.
We move on to the next question.
It's not. It's not.
Baby, you my sister.
Oh yes, you my yes, sister. You're my brother.
And look, I don't want to ask you nothing that's going to be uncomfortable mm-hmm. or jeopardize the other part of it. So mm-hmm. only talk about what you're comfortable with in this
okay.
situation.
And like I said, I picked up the phone to call him. He didn't answer, and I actually hung the phone up, continued on my way to work, and I received a phone call. And when I answered the phone, it was a relative of mine's, and she asked me what was going on in Columbus. And I'm like, what do you mean? What's going on in Columbus? you know, this was just a normal day, a Sunday.
Right.
And I asked her, I said, what do you mean? What's going on? She said, well, my son just told me that Red was shot. I said, excuse me?
Wow.
I told her, I said, let me get off the phone and make a phone call. And then I'll get back with you. Here it is. Now, I'm on got off on Buena Vista Road exit to go to work over in, I think it was like Willis Plaza. And I made a U-turn, made the phone call to one of relatives of mine to ask what was, you know, what was going on. I said, when I called them, I was like, what's going on? I said, I just got a phone call that Britt had been shot. And he was like, yes, that's true. And my question was, what were y'all doing with the gun? Because I've never had a weapon around my children. It was never allowed in my house. And he was like, we were getting ready to have a, you know, a cookout. Just have, a you know, a, just right. a kickback. Yes. So I'm like, well, what are you guys was doing? And he's like, we was preparing to get ready to have a cookout. And all of a sudden, a drive-by shooting took place. And I said, well, where is he? He's like, he's going to be okay. We're at the emergency room at St. Francis. And I'm like, I can hear in the background where the nurses are asking what's the age. And I gave them, you know, told them the age. And I told my cousin, I said, look, I am on my way. I said, give me about 10 minutes. I said, let them know that I will be there in about 10 minutes. I immediately hung up the phone. Once I got off that phone, the conversation, Riley, I just immediately started praying. I started crying. I was getting emotional. And I'm like, Lord, please do not let anything be wrong with my son. You know, and I had to get back on the interstate to head to St. Francis Hospital. And something just told me to, which Holy I'm not going to say something. It was the Holy Spirit. I picked up the phone and I called my pastor. I called my pastor to let my pastor what was going on, because I knew right then I needed someone that was anointed, that can pray with me, know how to reach.
Get it through.
Know how to reach the Lord in prayer, to pray with me and to let him know what was going on. And I can remember
Pastor Banks.
Yeah, Pastor Banks.
He's Tony Banks, my
Bishop
dude.
Pastor Banks. Yes, he's my pastor, a good pastor, a word of man of God. And at that time, when I reached out to him and told him what was going on, policemen were behind me, because I was like going 100 some miles per hour.
But that's understandable, right?
Yes, you're exactly right. And I did not pull over until I got to the hospital. And my pastor was still on the phone with me. And I got out of the car. They asked me for my ID and my insurance card. And I can remember my pastor telling me to just listen, to calm down, whatever they're asking you. To, you know, follow their instructions and stff. And I was anxious, I was frustrated, and I was upset because I did not know what actually happened. And when I got to the hospital, that's, you know, the pandemic, which we're still in a pandemic, everything was really closed, or they would not let you into the building. But when I got to the walked up to the St. Francis Hospital, the policeman was there. I could not go in. So at that time, I'm like, you know, I need to see my son. What's going on? I need questions to answer, and no one can answer anything for me. And so I can remember, well, actually, I got off the phone with my pastor, and then I remember that the nurse came out and asked for the parents of Red, it was Demetrius, and I said, I'm the only parent that's here. because his father was in route. So I actually had to call his brother. That was a hurt feeling because I did not know how to let his brothers know.
He was gone by then?
He wasn't gone then, okay. But know that he had got shot.
Right.
So I call his brother, which is Jayani, to let him know that Red has been shot. I said, can you reach out to your father to see how long it's going to be before he get here or he's en route? By that time, the nurse came back outside, and she said, he said, the doctor needs you now. He wants you to come in. So I had to take a deep breath, and I went to, they took me to the chaplain. In my mind, I'm like.
You think you're going to pray?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm like, why is they taking me in the chaplain? I don't want to go in there. And so when I get in there, the young lady, she sits me down. She asks me my name. And I'm still, you know, am I right now? You know, just listening to what she's saying and stuff. And she was like, well, my name is so-and-so. And my son was shot in the head and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
why are you talking to me?
I don't want to hear that. I'm here right. for my son. I want to know what's going on. So by that time, I'm in the chaplain, sitting down waiting. And I'm just, you know, saying, you know, thinking to myself, you know, what's going on? What happened? And I'm sitting here like, Lord, please, you know, let my son be okay. And all of a sudden, the doctor and two nurses comes in. Asked me my name. I told him my name, gave him my date of birth. And they was like, who are you? I said, I'm the mother of Demetrius Daniels. And he says, he looks like he was a, you know, he's a healthy young man. I said, yeah, that's true. I said, well, you know, he was working out and stuff. And he likes to watch what he eats and stuff. And then he was like saying, well, he gave me the location where he got shot and that he lost blood. I said, okay. I said, well, sir, can I go see my son? And Brother Riley, he looked at me and he said, oh, no, I'm sorry, we lost him. Through that time, when he said that, I immediately just lost it. I got my purse, ran out of the hospital, and I can remember the doors opening up. The nurse, she grabbed me by my purse, and I just fell right there at the door. And then by that time, that's when the father of my three children, Demetrius, walked up at the door, and I said, Demetrius, our baby's gone. And he fell to the floor. And that, from that day up until now, my life has tremendously changed.
But that's why I asked you here for Sunday conversations, because like I said before, I know you.
Right.
I haven't heard about you. I know you. We have 20 plus years of friendship. And just like the title of Sunday Conversation says, you dotted all the I's, you crossed all the T's as a mother. You were and you still are a great mother. Mm-hmm. But yet your child still fell victim to crazy things in the street.
Exactly, right.
And so my last and final question, Jamaica, is this right here. Because you have lost a child in the street and you dotted the I's and you crossed the T's, what can you tell the mothers or fathers out here who see their children going in the wrong direction? And we all know, we all seen this movie before. When the child is doing certain things, hanging with certain people, good things are not going to come from it. It's either going to be jail or that cemetery.
The cemetery, that's right.
And the pain that you feel, I don't know about, because I've never lost a child. Or a brother or a sister. Now, my wife have lost a sister. But what can you What is the most important thing that you would tell someone who either lost a child to violence in the street, mm-hmm. or their child is going in the wrong direction, and it's a possibility that if they keep on this track, that they're going to run into something that they can't recover from?
Oh, wow. To those parents that's out there that has a child that's on the right path, that's doing right, and to pray for them. Because when they leave home, they're going to face something that's out there in the streets. And I know that we want to protect them at all times, but we can't. But you just have to pray for them and turn them over to the Lord, and continue to pray for them and ask the Lord to keep a head of protection around them. Because I do know that God is a healer. And for those for the parents that have lost their children, that's out there mm-hmm. in the streets, that's committing crimes, I mean, also pray for them as well. Because they need it. The generation of kids now, they really need it. Because if they do not change their stinking thinking.
What is that called?
That's their stinky thinking.
What is stinking thinking? Elaborate a little bit.
Oh, what I mean by stinking thinking is where they don't make the right decisions. Mm-hmm. They don't think right. And when you think negative, you bring negative to you. You're going to have those negative thoughts. You're going to be out there doing the wrong things out there in a community. And when you can continue to do wrong, bad things happen to you. You're going to bring bad things to you. What happened to my son? He wasn't a bad person.
No.
He was not a bad person. He was a genuine person. But he did not hang out in the streets where he committed, was doing crime.
Right.
Because if you do stuff something wrong to somebody, it's going to come back to you. It's either you're going to be in jail or you're going to be dead.
Yes.
So that's what I mean by the stinking thinking.
Okay.
That's what I mean. You know, if you're out there, if you're doing negative things, if you, don't have a positive outlook on life.
You're right.
Something bad is going to happen to you.
You're right. You know, in closing, I was raised with a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. And I was raised in a loving home. It was a lot of discipline on my father's side in our home. And our mother and father, they sent us to church, Sunday school, mm-hmm. plays. Yes. I mean, the whole vacation Bible school,
right.
The whole nine yards. But at the end of the day, when we left that house, there were situations that we knew better. But we were still in places that we knew our parents wouldn't approve of. Right. But our parents did their job. They mm-hmm. did everything they were supposed to do. And I thank God that that hedge of protection was around us and nothing bad happened to us while we was out there. But as a parent, someone once told me, Danny Whitehead, he passed about a month ago, one of my good friends from the military, he told me that you can only do your best. Mm-hmm. And if anybody asks you to do more than your best, then they're wrong.
Right.
And so as a parent, you can only do your best for your mm-hmm. children.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then you leave the rest alone. Well, listen, it has been a great Sunday conversations. I thank God for my friend Jamaica Hall. This is your boy, Gerald G. Rat Riley.
Yes, yes.
Until next time.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.